Good morning.
Good morning.
I think you can do better. Good morning.
Good morning.
There we go. Thank you so much for allowing our youth the opportunity to give leadership during worship this morning. This is one of the many ways that West End continues to support our youth ministry. I hope you know that you are making a difference in our youth's lives by allowing them to lead and maybe make some mistakes. And for that, they, and hopefully all of us, will be forever changed. I've got a few announcements for us this morning. For those of you that are participating in reading the Bible throughout the year, our second large group gathering is happening on Sunday, May 30th from 5 to 7, both in person and over Zoom. And there's more information in your bulletin about that. We're also serving with Habitat for Humanity on April 29th for anyone who's 16 years old and above. There's more information in our Friday e-news. If you are in college, we would love to have you join Pastor Nancy for lunch today. After the service, you can meet Nancy in Reed Hall right here next to the sanctuary. And on May 7th at 4 p.m., the sanctuary choir will sing a service of choral evensong here in this sanctuary. There is more detailed information in the bulletin about that. And then our gym is open today for a little bit longer. If you have not been able to head down there to participate in writing letters to your representatives or to have a conversation with some of our church members who are involved with NOAA, you can head to the gym after worship. And if you're not sure what to do, there's people there that can answer questions for you. Now I'd like to welcome Elizabeth Cambrum, our Vice Chair of SPRC, who has an announcement to share with us.
Hello. As I believe you are all aware by now, it was announced last weekend that Aaron Racine will be leaving West End this summer to be reappointed to The Vine, a new ministry of our conference. And this week, I am able to announce the appointment of Reverend Will McLean to West End. Will comes to West End after serving Edenton Street United Methodist Church in downtown Raleigh, North Carolina, for 8 years as the pastor of parish engagement. Will is an ordained elder in the North Carolina Annual Conference. He received his Master's of Divinity from Duke Divinity School and a Bachelor of Arts in History and Political Science from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Will has been married to Nashville native Kate Tidwell McLean for 8 years. Kate was actually baptized here in West End. Will was born and raised in Little Rock, Arkansas, and met Kate while serving together in campus ministry at UNC. Together, they have two children. Annie is age 4, and Emily is 18 months. Will loves spending time with his family, a good cup of coffee, riding bicycles, fly fishing, and adventuring with friends old and new in the Appalachian Mountains. And I know you will join me in welcoming Will, Kate, and their children this summer. Thank you.
Thank you. This morning, our teenagers are sharing ways that the first chapter of Ruth has impacted them. Starting this past January, our youth and adults have studied Ruth 1:1-18 by using Lectio Divina, which means divine reading, to prayerfully discuss this passage in Ruth to prepare for our worship experience. Draw the Circle Wide will be our focus today. Our liturgy, prayers, music, children's time, this entire service from beginning to end will all center on the idea that we are empowered by the Spirit to draw our circle wide and see who needs to be involved in our circle with us. I'm grateful to be here with you, and I'm honored to have us get this started.
Here in this place, there are no foreigners. Come all who are searching for acceptance or purpose. May our worship today lead us to a place where all of this may be so. Beloveds, let us worship God.
Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. Lord, we have the tendency to wander in the confusion of our own creating. Many times, we have thought only of our own wants and desires and ignored the needs of others. Help us to understand the commandments to love you with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. Help us to reorder our priorities, renew our hearts in worship, our minds in wisdom, and our hands in service. Let us care for our neighbors, both near and far. Bring us back to your loving light. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. In the midst of our darkness and ignorance, the bright light of God's love shines through, healing our souls. Go to bring peace, forgiveness, and a new life to the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen.
As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange time of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you. Good morning. Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Lesson from the Gospel, Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. During the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. A man with his wife and two sons went from Bethlehem of Judah to dwell in the territory of Moab. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were from Bethlehem in Judah. They entered the territory of Moab and settled there. But Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. The only she was left, along with her two sons. The sons took wives for themselves, Moabite women. The name of the first was Orpah, and the name of the second was Ruth. And they lived there for about 10 years. But both of the sons, Mahlon and Chilion, also died. Only the woman was left without her two children and without her husband. Then she arose along with her daughters-in-law to return from the field of Moab, because while in the territory of Moab, she'd heard that the Lord had paid attention to his people by providing them with food. She left the place where she had been, and her two daughters-in-law went with her. They went along the road to return to the land of Judah. Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, "Go, turn back, each of you, to the household of your mother. May the Lord deal faithfully with you, just as you have done with the dead and with me. May the Lord provide for you so that you may find security, each woman in the household of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. But they replied to her, "No. Instead, we will return with you to your people." Naomi replied, "Turn back, my daughters. Why would you go with me? Will there again be sons in my womb that would go to be husbands for you? Turn back, my daughters. Go. I am too old for a husband. If I were to stay there, I have hope. Even if I had a husband tonight, and even more, if I were to bear sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you refrain from having a husband? No, my daughters. This is more bitter for me than for you, since the Lord's will has come out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth stayed with her. Naomi said, "Look, your sister-in-law is returning to her people and to her gods. Turn back after your sister-in-law." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to abandon you, to go back from following after you. Wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do this to me, and more so if he was determined to go with her." She stopped speaking to her about it. The word of God to the people of God.
Sanctuary to come up and join me and Lachlan up here for the children's sermon.
Each other for a while now, haven't we?
Yeah, we have.
We've been friends for a while too, but we've definitely gone through a lot.
Like how Ruth and Naomi were good friends, and they grew closer to when bad things happened to them.
So Ruth was Naomi's son's wife, so her daughter-in-law. But Ruth's husband died, and they had to go back to Naomi's hometown of Bethlehem.
Know who else was born in Bethlehem?
Who was born in Bethlehem?
Jesus. Whoa.
So Ruth and Naomi went back to Bethlehem, but once they got there, Naomi told Ruth that she should turn back and go home.
But Ruth said something that surprised Naomi.
Ruth told Naomi that that she would go where she went, pray to the God she prayed to, and not even let death separate them.
That's some pretty deep friendship.
I know, you're a friend like Ruth.
So are you.
So during the pandemic, there were times when I didn't really want to talk to anybody at all, let alone go to Sunday school on my computer. But Mary was always there asking if I was going, and it made me feel a lot better to know that I had someone thinking of me.
And when I'm sad, I...
Do you like Sunday school? I like Sunday school.
I made a beautiful mask.
Nice.
Make a mask is fun.
And when I'm sad or I need advice, I can always go to Lachlan to help me. Do you guys have anyone like that?
Oh, so sometimes people get sad because
things happen to them in their life.
Yeah.
And then they go to friends that can help them and they feel better.
Yeah. So do you guys have someone that you can talk to when you're sad or when you're lonely?
Like your parents? Parents are always a good resource.
I talk to my mom and dad when I'm sad, or I talk to my friends. Okay. I'm sleepy too. Girl, me too.
You wanna pray?
So if you ever see someone that doesn't have a friend or is maybe lonely or sad, what can you do?
Talk to them.
Yeah, thank you, Anna. You can talk to them. And it's always nice to draw our circle really big and include them. You guys want to pray now? Okay, let's pray.
Dear Lord, help us find the Ruth in our life. Help us be Ruth in someone else's life. And help us be kind to others and show them the love through our actions. Amen.
Amen. Okay, so if you are 3, 4, or 5, you can go with... You're 4? Then this direction is for you, friend. You can go with Pastor Shannon and go to Children's Church. Bye-bye, friends.
Good morning. My name is Tripp Cook, and I will be graduating from Martin Luther King Junior High School. I'm planning on attending the University of Mississippi in the fall, and I've been coming to church here as long as I can remember. It's always been part of my life, from VBS to children's choir, to the last 6 years of youth group. When I first joined the youth group back in 2017, I didn't know anyone very well. For the first year, I only came when my parents told me to. My small group consisted of all girls and me. Small groups was by no means something I looked forward to every week. It consisted of me trying every week to be part of this group, but there was no easy place. I didn't go on the middle school mission trip, and I didn't know the people in my small group all that well, and I didn't have any real connection with them. I felt isolated. I felt like I was just there watching everyone. I thought there might be something wrong with me that I didn't have this connection that I was watching other people my age have. This would change when I found out we were going backpacking Virginia with Wilderness Trail. Being in Boy Scouts, I had ample interest in backpacking and was mostly just happy to get a chance to go hiking. I was excited in a nervous way. I'm sure you know the feeling when you have anxiety that's holding you back from doing what you really want to do. It makes it difficult to act on. I made an important decision that I have a chance to enter a circle with others. Still, going in, I didn't know anyone else on the trip all that well, and I had just completed my first year in youth, and there were two new youth members, and there was two older people I didn't know all that well. Before we started hiking, I don't think I said a sentence with more than five words, but as the trip went on and we started to hike, I got to know the other people in my group much better. They approached me and welcomed me into their group. Things had shifted. They drew a wide circle around me, and I opened up. Have you ever had a time where as soon as you understood you were in a safe space, you could not stop talking? This was me, and by the end of the week, I was by far the loudest person in the room. As we went back into the real world, I expected that Sunday nights would return to the usual burden, that even after this great trip, I would feel alone once again. Even after this amazing experience where I saw the grace God can offer us by his image in others, I had doubts. Luckily, it would be put to rest very fast. The circle I found on the trip would carry over to Sunday nights. Every Sunday night, even if I retreated inside of myself, people would come to me. This would continue all year, and I haven't missed very many youth events since. Things had shifted. I felt at home and welcomed in the church. What had started as a weekly burden had turned into the highlight of my week. The next summer, we would go back to Virginia with the same group, making new memories, having more fun. That was the summer of 2019, and at that moment, I'd expected to come back the next summer, and every summer after this, I would get to have this experience. But the pandemic would shift that. In the summer of 2021, we would return to Virginia, and things would have shifted again. We were in a smaller group. This time, I would know people going in. I have two trips worth of experience to back me, but it was different. I wasn't that kid anymore, and I would never be that kid again. I had shifted. There were new people, younger kids that had never been on a youth trip. This time, it would be my chance to draw a circle around them. I did what I needed to be kind. It was mostly an easy thing to do, though, because I had once been that kid that felt like they didn't have a place. When I read Ruth, I first see myself as Ruth. It can be easy to feel alone, especially when things are changing. When growing up, you're constantly feeling these shifts. I imagine Ruth must have been scared after her husband died. She was in a place she didn't know without a circle around her. We can all see ourselves in her. We remember these moments when we felt alone. We should also remember the moments when we were Naomi, the times we had a chance to welcome someone new into our group and care for them, even when we didn't want to, even when we didn't understand the person that we were helping. As much as we remember our moments as Ruth when we felt alone, I think we have a lot more chances to be Naomi, to shift our circle to be bigger, to include others. Every time we have one of these moments, we should take it. We should draw a big circle and welcome others. The feeling will never get old, not in my soul, not in my spirit. Keep it alive. Keep drawing the circle bigger, as wide as you can. I want to thank some people that drew a wide circle around me during my time here. All my small groups over the leaders over the years that gave their effort and attention to me. That helped to create a great atmosphere of welcoming on Sunday nights that I'm going to sincerely miss next year. I want to give a special thanks to Anthony Hendren, who made Sunday nights on Zoom call fun and coached basketball through close wins and 50-point blowouts. I also want to thank Darryl Watson for all the years he was a small group leader and all his amazing stories. I want to thank Ashby Barnes for chaperoning just about every youth trip I attended. And finally, I want to thank everyone who was involved in this church for providing a place for me to get to grow and find my relationship with God over the last 18 years. Thank you so much.
Hi, everyone. My name is Anna Bigelow, and I'm currently a senior at Hillsborough High School. In the fall, I'll be attending Emerson College to major in theater education. I've been attending West End since I was a baby, sitting in the eighth row on the right side, watching and drawing all throughout big church. At such a young age, church was a hard concept for me to grasp. Why would I get all dressed up in fancy clothes on my day off for something I didn't really understand? In fact, there were only a few things I knew for certain at that age. One, I loved stories. Any and every kind. Every night, I would ask my parents to read me a story before bed, and before they knew it, I was reading all on my own. I made my younger brother and countless other people sit and watch while I performed a myriad of songs, skits, and more. It feels like storytelling has always been in my blood, and West End was quick to encourage that love. Everyone here has motivated my love for stories, from music camp to reading passages in the Bible to hearing Carol and Michael preach. I was lucky enough to play many roles on stage in the Fourth Story Theater and get to be the person who tells the story to all the watchful eyes. I've been so blessed to grow up in a place that engulfed me with love and support for any and everything that I want to do. Stories have grown with me, and as I have grown, my love for stories has as well. 2, God loves me unconditionally. Every time I came to church, I heard about God's unconditional love. It was everywhere I went. But this was so hard for me to believe. I hadn't done anything to make God love me, and I was filled with flaws from head to toe. Later in my life, I also questioned God's unconditional love and why hard things come with it. If God always loves me, why are there times I don't feel it? Yet, everyone seemed to be convinced of this unconditional love. But we'll get back to that. Almost anything outside of that, I had no idea about. Still to this day, there's so much I don't even begin to understand, and that's really hard for me to admit. My first experience in youth group helped me come to that realization. We were on a mission trip to Heifer Ranch, where we got to learn about different cultures and how Heifer provides food for them. We were linked with this other group, and one of the first activities we did as a group was called Big Hoop. We were split into 4 teams. Each team had a hula hoop, and there was a pile of stuff at the center. The goal was to be the only team with all the stuff in their hula hoop. Being the competitive 7th graders we took that as a challenge, lost in the heat of it all, and this went on for a really, really long time. Eventually, the adults gave us a time limit, and the game was over. After it was over, we talked about what we could have done differently, and how if we kept taking from each other, no one would be able to reach their goal. Instead, if we simply would have worked together, we could have formed a big hoop and compiled all of our resources. Later on in the week, we participated in a world hunger simulation. We were, once again, split into groups and given an unlimited amount of resources. But this time, it was actual food, and if we didn't have enough, we wouldn't be eating dinner that night. So imagine this, 60-plus teenagers divided into villages among a lake, given food, water, jobs, and tasks in order to survive the night. My team was assigned to the Zimbabwe hut, and we slept under the lake by the stars. I can still smell the bug spray that consumed our bodies, and sadly, I can still feel the frustration after failing to start many fires. So, at first, we looked at it competition style. How and what can I take from the other groups? What do we have to barter with them? After a few hours of that, it was unsuccessful, as one group had all of the water and no dinner was being made without that. So, with the people we knew, we pooled all of our resources together. All the while, the adults had been saying, big hoop, but that we didn't really get the message. There were other groups that could have been included, but we chose our pride over the unity of the community and chose winning, or being right, over collaboration and unification. Often I find myself getting caught up in being the best or having the most control over a situation. It's simple for me to know what's happening, when, and how I can manage everything going on. It feels easier to focus on myself rather than the whole, or simply to say no to the things that make me uncomfortable. In fact, it usually is easier. But I believe God calls us to show love and compassion to the people around us, even when it's the hard thing to do. We are called to be the loving light of Christ in someone else's story. In the passage we read earlier, Ruth could have gone and left Naomi. It was the easy thing. She would have had another family, a husband, and a status that she would not get if she stayed with Naomi. Not only that, but she would have a certainty that going back with Naomi did not provide. She chose to be a widower and stay with her dead husband's mother, even after her sister did not do the same thing. For a moment, she put her pride aside and stayed to continue to form unity through faith. Don't urge me to leave you or turn my back to you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. As children of God, we are called to cling to our community, not out of fear, but rather through faith. Ruth believed that staying with Naomi was her calling, and her sister did not, but God continued to love both of them regardless. Just like when I was younger, there are still very few things that I know for certain, but they remain similar. 1, I love stories. Not only do I love stories, but I've devoted my life to telling them. I believe stories bring us closer together. I know God would have wanted me to tell stories of faith and love to unite communities. Stories like Ruth show us the way to go through our lives. 2, God loves me unconditionally. I've come to understand that no matter what I do, God finds a way to forgive and to love. I could make a decision to stay like Ruth or to go like her sister, and God would accept either. I'm blessed to be loved by a reckless forgiver, but it isn't something that I had to earn. We are all beloved children of God. 3, I'm called to focus on the big hoop. This is something I know and I still struggle with. How are we supposed to help everyone by working together when it seems that no one wants to collaborate lately? Would people even be interested in figuring out a bigger hoop with me? Can I rely on the people to work around me to work as a collective? Am I willing to stand in the gap as Ruth did and be there for people in every situation? I hope so. I believe that God longs for us to be there for those who society frowns upon or who we may overlook in our day-to-day lives. When it gets uncomfortable, I believe it's my time to stand up. When I find myself in hard times, I know there are people back here at West End who are hanging on to my hoop with me. I challenge all of you to think about the people in your life who make your hoop a little bit bigger and where you can be that person for someone else. Thank you.
An important part of worship is remembering the ways God loves us and cares for us and others, and how God invites us to draw our circle wide. We do that by collectively affirming our faith, so please rise in body or spirit to join us in our affirmation of faith found in your bulletin that we co-wrote in 2017. We believe in God, who is the Almighty One, the maker of heaven and earth. God is both seen and unseen, manifested in all. We believe God is the one who continues to nurture and support us in all circumstances. We believe in Jesus, God who came in the form of human to understand all that we experience. We believe Jesus is the Savior of men and women who offers all we need through life, death, and resurrection. Jesus is our mentor and guide, the one who shows us how to love God and to love our neighbors as ourselves. We believe Jesus is our hero, who loves us unconditionally. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the presence of God on earth, in our minds and hearts, who offer calm and comfort to our lives. We believe the Holy Spirit has the power to guide our thoughts and actions. As followers of Jesus, we believe the Holy Spirit helps us to spread the gospel to others. We believe in the church community,
a community of people who believe in Jesus Christ. We believe the church is a place where people experience peace, worship God, and participate in the sacraments. The church is a place where we learn about God and Jesus so that we can serve and care for others with love.
Please be seated.
As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout this week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or, if you are here with us in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pew racks in front of you that you can place in the offering boxes on your way out this morning. Now let us prepare ourselves to enter into the presence of God in prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of grace, we come to you with hearts that need to be opened to your word and love. There is so much around us that tears at us and causes us to tremble. Keep us ever mindful of your presence and the hope that you give us. God of compassion, we remember before you the sick, the poor, the sick, and the dying prisoners, and all who are lonely, the victims of war, injustice, and inhumanity, and all others who suffer from whatever their sufferings may be called. God, our provider, we pray for our country. Inspire the hearts and minds of our leaders that they may First, seek your kingdom and righteousness so that order, liberty, and peace may dwell with your people. O God, the Creator, we pray for all nations and people. Take away the mistrust, lack of understanding, and that divide your creatures. Increase in us the recognition that we are all your children. O Savior God, look upon your church and its struggle upon the earth. We know that there will often be bumps and holes in the road along the way. Have mercy on the church when it is weak and full of division. Look also upon the ministry of your church. Increase its courage, strengthen its faith, and inspire its witness to all people, even to the ends of the earth. Send your Holy Spirit to us and all your children. Keep our hearts and thoughts in Jesus Christ, your Son, our only Savior, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options on the screen. While here in the sanctuary, we will pass offering plates down the rows. May we give with the joy to the God who has been so generous with us.
Thank you. morning.
They did a beautiful, beautiful job. On behalf of the youth, Emily, and myself, we just want to thank you so much for being here and being present in the lives of the youth here at West End. We thank you for being the light and love of Christ to them, and most of all, for believing in them. So please continue standing in spirit as Noah gives our benediction.
When it seemed all hope was lost, Ruth said to Naomi, "I will not abandon you, not even in death. This is the love of God in action. As we go, may God give us the courage to practice such love with and for one another and draw our circle wide. May it be so."